Siyata Mobile, a company bringing Israel's cutting-edge R&D innovations to the critical world of first responder communications. The 9/11 tragedy exposed tremendous shortfalls in the first responder communications. The U.S. government created a nationwide cellular system called FirstNet. Siyata Mobile has the only dedicated in-vehicle device that is certified FirstNet ready. This disruptive technology minute has been brought to you by Siyata Mobile, trading symbol SYTA. The preceding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the New World Report, CBS Eye on the World, with Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Latin American Research Professor. The news from Venezuela is dire. There is a famine, especially a famine for the young. There are reports, and I'm looking at one most recently, that children are seen as small for their age because they're not getting adequate nutrition. This is a report that's certainly connects with other reports of the mass migration for people seeking remittances to send back home, or perhaps because they cannot raise their children in safety. We also learn that the health sector has collapsed or is highly questionable throughout the country. However, the reason I mention Venezuela is because next door in Colombia, a major presidential election is underway, along with a legislative election earlier in the spring, before the late May presidential election. And Professor, the puzzle here is, how does the Venezuela disorder and tragedy affect the voting in Colombia? Especially because, as I've learned, there is an active war of terrorist, narco-terrorist gangs along the Colombia-Venezuela border. First, about the war. Is it getting worse? Is it in some fashion just a low boil? And does it touch the Colombia voters?
John, you mentioned several very important and interrelated issues. In Venezuela in general, the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization just came out with a report indicating that the only country that is worse in terms of food security and malnutrition in all of the hemisphere is actually Haiti. Venezuela comes in at number two. It's a dire situation, although it's gotten a little bit better with the allowing of basically narco dollars into the economy by some of the Venezuelan elites, such as Tariq Alassami. Having said that, as you pointed out also, one of the things that's really coming back to bite the Maduro regime right now is what's happening on the border. And so for years, accelerating under Nicolas Maduro, they allowed the FARC, the Colombian the Colombian guerrillas into states like Apure. They allowed also the ELN into various states and really came to have a presence all throughout the Venezuelan mining arc, helping the Maduro regime exploit illegal gold, displacing or putting more order to the less reliable Venezuelan gangs like the sindicatos and like the prison gangs, the Prenas. But what's begun to happen is that's gotten out of control. So to try to put a little bit of this in perspective, with respect to the FARC, there have actually been two groups that don't see eye to eye. You had the FARC dissidents who were really concentrated in narco trafficking and other criminal operations, the 10th and 28th fronts, which came to be dominated by a narco leader by the name of Gentil Duarte, and really became to be well embedded in Venezuela and very powerful. So powerful that last spring, when the Venezuelan government tried to dislodge him, he actually beat back and basically hunted down Venezuelan government forces to the point of humiliation. But the other piece was that in addition to Duarte, that you had some of the old ideological FARC. And so when two of those, even Marquez and Jesus Santrich, decided that their own narco trafficking made them not want to stay on the good side of the peace accords that they'd signed, they tried to go to Venezuela and essentially take control of that dissident movement. Gentil Duarte wouldn't have anything to do with it. And so what you had this past year was fighting between Duarte's people and Santrich and Marquez. And their group, which came to be called the Segunda Marquetalla, was beaten back very badly. Santrich was killed. Two of his other major lieutenants were actually killed. And what happened from that point is that for a long time, the ELN was kind of staying on the sidelines of all this. Both the ELN and the FARC were doing their criminal operations in the country. But because the criminal elements in the FARC dissidents under Duarte, were starting to basically put pressure on the people in the border region, that got the ELN. Basically, what we had is you had the ELN and the Segundo Marquetalia taking sides against Duarte's people. And so literally this past week, you've had major clashes all along the border region in a series of different cities, Cubará, Saravena, Arequito, Fontul. Why this is really important is that if the two major established fighting forces, the ELN and Duarte's people, have begun this battle, that is one of the biggest possibilities for the border to get out of control. So to take it back to the presidency, the irony is that this in many ways could actually make it more probable that you have a presidency of the left in Colombia, Gustavo Petro, the former M19 guerrilla, because what's happening right now is you have a center in Colombia, you have a people on the right, such as Ivan Zuliga, who's carrying on the Centro Democratico mantle, and then you have the far left with Petro. So to the extent that the Colombians get more polarized, that basically takes you to a far left versus a not quite as dynamic right with Zuliga, which could actually ironically lead to Duarte's election. But one of the other really, really big things that just happened this past week is there was a dossier that was released. I don't think it's been picked up by the English language press yet. But you remember Tariq William Saab, the Venezuelan narco affiliated with that regime, about 10,000 pages that became available to the Colombian government. It turns out that the previous president, Juan Manuel Santos, who made the peace deal with the FARC, may also have been working with the Venezuelan narcos. And so that could further polarize things in Colombia. So a lot of polarization, a lot of problems. And the fear is that the polarization, ironically, could actually make it more likely that the left wins in the May presidential election.
Gustavo Petro is said to be the strong leader on the left, the man with the colorful background. Does he represent someone who can work with, who can tolerate Maduro's lawlessness? Is this something that would stabilize it or just accentuate the distinction between what you'd have to say is the gangster rule in Caracas and the socialist rule, the neo-socialist rule in Bogota? I'm trying to picture how these two would either get along or what their friction would look like.
You know, reality, John, they probably would get along fairly well, probably even better than Juan Manuel Santos was able to get along with his Venezuelan counterparts. The risk is that in getting along, you know, what would that imply for Colombia and what would that imply for the advance of the left in the region? And what would that imply for the easing up of pressure on some of the narco criminal activities that are now going on in Colombia? So but certainly it probably in superficial terms will lower tensions between Colombia and Venezuela, which ironically is one thing that a lot of Colombians would like to see. The question is, at what price?
And the ELN, is that something that Petro would need to deal with, confront, or is it outside of the reach of either of the governments, Caracas and Bogota? We have less than a minute.
Well, the ELN and the FARC have long been a problem for governments on both the right and left. And so one way or another, just as Maduro had to deal with the leftist guerrillas that he allowed into his country, Petro, even if he tries to have a more accommodating posture towards the ELN, would have to deal with it. Indeed, it was said that President Duque was trying to deal with the ELN right before this horrible attack by the ELN against Esmad police forces in Cali just a couple of days ago, which apparently killed or injured 13 police.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, commenting on the two big elections, Brazil later in the year and Colombia early in the year, to determine the direction in these next months and years for the New World Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.